This is the second session, The Role of the Entrepreneur in Shaping Institutions. I'll be your panel chair. My name is Dylan Pommen. I'm a research fellow at the Acton Institute and executive editor of their journal Markets and Morality. I'm also a PhD candidate at St. Mary's University in Twickenham, London. I prepared some remarks so as not to ramble, so I'm going to read those. From the advertising blunders of failing mass market beers, to the breakup of church denominations over traditional ordination and marriage policies, to the rainbow flag flown at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul just 3 months before our most ignominious military withdrawal since the fall of Saigon, the long march of identity grievance, virtue signaling, cultural Marxism through the market, state, and civil society cannot be missed today, as the previous panel made abundantly clear. However, when it comes to the market at least, I would submit that there is a far greater concern than cultural Marxism, namely the old Marxism, Marxism classic, if you will, which we also heard a little about. This is the one responsible for the needless deaths of hundreds of millions of innocent people in the last century, and which remains the official ideology of the second most populous nation on Earth, the human rights disaster and global superpower known as the People's Republic of China. Over 20 years ago now, Father Robert Sirico observed, despite the laudable attitude of popular culture against prejudice of any form, there remains one group upon which an unofficial open season has been declared, entrepreneurs. Since that time, certainly nothing has improved. See, for example, the political and social activism of from Occupy Wall Street to the Bernie Sanders presidential campaigns, to the recent strike of writers and actors against the Hollywood studios that routinely produce shows and movies depicting business people as Dickensian villains, from The Wolf of Wall Street to Succession. More alarming than the persistence of this anti-bourgeois prejudice in our culture today is the proliferation of onerous red tape from unaccountable bureaucrats in the administrative state, restricting the ability of would-be entrepreneurs to start new businesses in the first place or to freely operate them as they deem best if they do. Most egregious in this regard would be the self-inflicted economic straitjacket imposed upon business people deemed unessential during the COVID-19 pandemic. While the governors enacting these one-size-fits-all policies regularly transgress their own rules with the excuse that, of course, although they could be trusted to be careful, ordinary citizens who poured their lives' work into their businesses could not. The good of business in general, and free enterprise in particular, has always been and should continue to be one of the core principles of American conservatism. As President Calvin Coolidge put it almost a century ago, the chief business of the American people is business. He continued, they are profoundly concerned with producing, buying, selling, investing, and prospering in the world. I am strongly of opinion that the great majority of people will always find these our moving impulses of our life. Frank Knight noted that the rare character of the entrepreneur is someone intuitively able to evaluate the risks and uncertainties that characterize the pursuit of new profits by providing new products and services for consumers. Joseph Schumpeter demonstrated how even just the possibility of entrepreneurial disruption mitigates monopoly power, and when actualized, exponentially and qualitatively improves the lives of everyone in an economy, not just entrepreneurs and their investors. And Israel Kirzner conceptualized the pure entrepreneur as anyone with the disposition to act as a third party that brings together those buying too high with those selling too low, using their unique insight and knowledge to carve out new societal niches for a win-win-win proposition. This mindset, I would submit, is greatly needed today and full of positive potential. For example, for our higher education system, perhaps the American institution most severely besieged by that newfangled cultural Marxism conservative politicians and politicos so often warn us about, even while caving to the prejudices and policies of Marxism classic and their naive endorsement of industrial policy and tariffs on international trade, but I digress. The good news is that despite many real challenges, the United States remains one of the best places in the world to start and run a business. And thus, the entrepreneurial impulse to initiate new endeavors and renew old ones remains a vital and vibrant counterforce to the left's long march through American institutions. But what then is entrepreneurship? And who is the entrepreneur? Not just in theory, but in reality. What is the entrepreneur's role in the advancement of a free and virtuous society, grounded in the principles of the American founding and resistant to the abundant and ubiquitous threats and prejudices I've outlined? And what happens when entrepreneurs are hindered or corrupted by the force of the state, by cultural hostility, or by their own sinful temptations. What do we lose, and how do we get it back? Thankfully for me, I don't have to answer any of those questions. Our esteemed panelists do, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm joined here today by Nikolai Wenzel, an affiliated scholar at the American Institute for Economic Research and professor of economics at Universidad de las Herspides, excuse the pronunciation, an online startup classical liberal university based in the Canary Islands. He holds a PhD in economics from George Mason University, where he wrote under Richard Wagner, and a BS cum laude from the Walsh School of Foreign Service at Georgetown University. He is the author of more than 70 articles, chapters, and reviews in political economy, and a book on the libertarian conservative debate, co-authored with his former Hillsdale College colleague, Nathan Schluter. He also wanted me to mention that he resides in Paris, France, though I'm currently torn whether to be jealous or sorry about that fact. Have they put out the fires yet? Next, Michael Munger is professor at Duke University, and he is also director of the PPE program there. And that's all he asked me to mention, but he's a very accomplished scholar whose work I hope you're familiar with. Unfortunately, Nathan Bond, who's on your schedule, was unable to join us, so we will certainly miss his entrepreneurial experience and his Roman Catholic worldview, and I hope that we will see him at a future society meeting someday. But in the meantime, Ramon Perelada has very graciously agreed last minute to join our panel and provide some of that real-world experience. He is trustee and general secretary of the Universidad Francisco Marroquín in Guatemala. He is also director of CEES, the Centro de Estudios Económico Sociales, the Guatemalan think tank started by Musa Ayaru, in the years before the creation of UFM. He is also a weekly columnist in the daily newspaper Prensa Libre. Mr. Perelada holds a chemical and industrial engineering degree from Universidad Rafael Landivar and a master's in business and administration from UFM. Today, Ramon is contributing to our discussion, especially in his capacity as entrepreneur and director of several companies engaged in the production and recycling of plastics in Guatemala. Please join me in welcoming our presenters. We're going to go in that order, and please, if you're able, use the podium. Thank you.